You're listening to The TP Cast,
the official podcast of Thomas Productions, Inc.
Here we discuss all of our latest videos, as well as other topics such as movies, Halo news, machinima, and so much more. So fasten your seatbelts, cause it's time for The TP Cast. And now, here are your very gracious hosts, Lane, Kevin, and Kyle.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Salutations.
Greetings.
Oh.
This is TPCast number 62.
We are well into the 60s.
Oh, whoa. A giant fly just landed on the monitor. That is scary. Yeah. Okay.
Pee on the Mac, little dude. Pee on the Mac.
How dare you, Kyle? Although I shouldn't expect, you know, any sympathy from you. Okay, so...
Hold on, Kai, what would you say if a fly did pee on it, and it broke, and then would you be like, oh, because we would lose all this stuff, and all that.
I'd be like, oh, that's too bad.
Although, thanks to the awesome time machine feature on the MacBook, I have backed up most of our files, so...
Yeah. Kai, you know what Kai says? He says this.
Well, if you delete something on a Mac, it's gone forever, but on a PC, you always have it.
That was in Tail Time Machine. Time Machine's been around for a while, and you said that very recently.
Yeah, I just recently was able to actually use it because I didn't have a spare external hard drive, but now I do. So,
oh, I feel relieved. And if it did broke, you know what I'd get if I were you? I'd get... a 27-inch iMac. Because that's what I want so badly. It's huge. Have you been to the Apple Store recently and seen it? It's huge.
I haven't been to the Apple Store, but I've seen it at, like, this college that I, like, toured and stuff.
Isn't it huge?
They're, like, really big.
Wait. I know, and I love it because it's huge, it's such good quality, and it costs less than a 17-inch MacBook Pro.
The bad part is that I want, you know, a laptop because... It's really nice to be portable, you know, pick it up and take it, like, over to your house to record or something like that.
The thing I don't like about it is that it's Mac. What college did you tour?
Oh, it was, like, one in San Francisco. I can tell you about it later.
Okay, and then, really quickly then, you were talking to me, I think it was on Facebook, and you asked me something about Magic Mouse.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Are you thinking about getting one?
Yeah, I was gonna, like, put it on my birthday list and stuff.
They're so good. And, you know, the Magic Mouse and the Apple wireless keyboard, which saves 24% dead space because it doesn't have a numerical keypad, come free with an iMac. So I know everything about Macs and Apple, and I'm training to become... I'm going to work in the Apple Store.
Awesome. Can you give me a discount?
No.
Oh. Okay.
Well, we'll see. I don't know. I actually... Yeah. You can't work there until you're 18, but I really want to work there.
Awesome.
You, Lane, you're going to be 18. You can do it for me. And then you can get me a discount and buy me a 27-inch iMac. Don't worry, the Magic Mouse and wireless keyboard are free.
I remember the first thing you did when you turned 14 was sing the...
The Reading Rainbow
theme. Oh, jeez, yeah.
What's the first thing you're going to do when you're 18? Are you going to sing a...
I don't know. I haven't decided yet.
Wait, did we sleep over?
And then
you woke up, you started singing Reading Rainbow.
Yeah, and then you had to bring it up that was the first thing I sung. Yeah. I'm never going to live that down. So maybe I should do something to, like, redeem myself.
Maybe Rickroll song. What's it called?
You sing that one. Never going to give you up.
Try Unity. It's got to be the first song.
We don't have. You can just hum it. You can't really sing it.
Dun, dun, mm, 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 mm. I don't know.
Yeah, so we haven't formally introduced ourselves yet, so...
Oh, I'm Kyle.
I'm Len.
I'm Kevin.
Okay. So...
We've already spent 5 minutes on our introduction.
Yes, that's really nice. It's flowing.
This is how we get our stuff out.
Yeah. Okay. So, let's start off how we usually do with some Halo news. Since our last podcast, Bungie has released the multiplayer beta trailer, which reveals a bunch of stuff.
And in the weekly update, they said that all that stuff was kind of placeholder, and there's new stuff.
Well, yeah, as far as the graphics, they say that, you know, they've improved, you know, a lot. They even posted, you know, those little clips of the water.
Yeah.
So, let's get this out of the way. Jetpacks.
Jetpacks. I hope that the jetpacks are better than the ones in Section 8, because although Section 8 is good, the jetpacks, they, like, lasted for 2 seconds. So I hope they last pretty long.
Yeah. It, you know, depends on, you know, yeah, the, because it's a power-up and stuff like that, and has to recharge and stuff. Because I could see people, like, really abusing that if it's not, you know, balanced right. But I like how you're going to have to choose, because there's, now there's these, you know, all these great armor abilities, and you're going to have to choose between, you know, either the jetpack, the sprint.
Overshield, invisa.
Yeah. So, yeah, it should be interesting. Now, how do you guys think, basically, do you think Bungie's going to implement, you know, like, the class system, like in Call of Duty?
I don't know. I think they, I know that Bungie plays Call of Duty and they like it, so I think they're trying to implement a little bit of stuff into it, but we'll see.
Yeah. Kyle, do you have an opinion on that? I guess not. Okay, so what I think that if anything, by the way, the trailer also,
what?
The trailer also, showed us some new game types, some new exciting game types that I might add.
Exploding head.
And so, I lost my train of thought. Exploding what was I talking about? No.
Headhunter.
No.
The new game types.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I said Headhunter.
Okay, so I was talking about the classes. So I think there's this one called, like, Loadout or something like that. So I think that if, like, if Bungie's going to do, you know, like, you know, like a class system, it's going to only be for that game type.
Loadouts isn't a game type. Loadouts are classes.
I know, but wouldn't that mean that it's, like, like Modern Warfare 2. I think that...
Wait, hold on. What if loadouts was a game type where you pick a loadout before you play
that's,
but then everything else?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. That just for that game type, you can pick a loadout, but for everything else, you know, you just spawn with an assault rifle. That's what I would like.
That would
and
be
then, with the exception of the armor abilities and, you know, the look of your Spartan. That would be the only thing that is, you know, consistent throughout that you can choose at the beginning. That's what I would like. So, we saw some new weapons. We got another, you know, I guess better look at the grenade launcher. It looks like it's gonna be like, you know, you shoot once and then you have to reload it.
Mm-hmm. That's cool, though.
Yeah,
I'm excited
it seems
to have
fine.
A grenade launcher.
Then there's that new Covenant, like, homing thing.
Mm-hmm.
That looks really cool. Although, yeah. I really hope that they, you know, balance it out with, you know, like, the Spartan laser and all. Because I could see, like, with Halo 3, I think it was already kind of, the Spartan laser was already, you know, like, on the border of being too powerful. Because, like, if you're in a vehicle, you can't just dominate, like, in Halo 2. You have to...
Beware.
Yeah, beware. And, you know, if there's a laser on the map, you can get shot down pretty quick. So, if now that there's another, you know, like, anti-vehicle weapon, I hope that they really balance it out.
And, you know, you can play as elites in the multiplayer.
Yes.
Which is good. Because not only is there Spartans versus elites, but there's also... Well, I don't know, but... they showed video of, like, you actually being an elite.
Yeah, so... That's really good. Like I said before, I was worried that they weren't going to allow that because they've changed, you know, the whole body structure of the Elite, basically, so much that I was worried that they would think that it wouldn't be balanced.
Yeah, and just in case of the Elite stuff, a week or so ago, we were talking about doing Marlon the Elite in Reach, and I'm not going to say anything, but we do have ideas for if we don't even know if we're going to put Marlon in Reach or not. We did have ideas if we wanted to.
Yeah,
we could.
We just need more details on, you know, like, what Reach is going to be like, you know, how the Elites are kind of going to look, what armors they're going
to
be.
Yeah, we also need to know if there's going to be a good map to, like, house them.
Yeah. So, also, one thing in the trailer they did show is a Phantom dropping in. No, I think it was under, you know, the mode. It was either, invasion? You know, Spartan, either Invasion or Spartan versus Elite. I can't remember. I think it was Invasion. But I'm wondering, is Invasion going to be like an online version of Firefight? Or is it going to be where, you know, other players against other players, where, you know, like, some players are
maybe like Section 8 where you drop in.
Or like, you know, it's kind of like Firefight, only the Covenant side is also played by other players.
Well, you know, IGN speculated that the Arena is like a server kind of one, where you can just drop in and drop out and there are always players in that.
Mm-hmm.
That would be fun.
Yeah, that would be neat. Be neat to have, you know, like a quote server.
Yeah.
So, yes, Kyle, since you appear to be interested in this game type, why don't you talk about Headhunter?
Shoot people's faces and they explode into skulls. Looks cool. You sound really excited about that.
It should be interesting. Another thing to note is the sniper. How, when you shoot the sniper, the reticle, you know, goes large and then shrinks back. What do you think of that?
It's not bad, but, you know, it doesn't need to be there. And it does that with the DMR, too. And I think the assault rifle, lots of weapons, are doing that now.
I think I'm going to like it on the, like, as far as the sniper rifle goes. I think I'm going to like it a lot more than I hate it. Because it's so annoying, you know, to have, you know, like a sniper guy somewhere, and he's just totally sniping you, and you don't know where he is and stuff. This is going to help balance it out so he can't fire in, you know, rapid succession.
Mm-hmm.
So, and give you a chance, you know, to grab cover in between shots. We don't know, though, if that's going to do it when you're zoomed in. So
no, but we do.
We do?
They showed one shot in the multiplayer where you are zoomed in, and he shoots, and the reticle does expand.
Ah, okay.
Oh, I'm looking for it to sprint.
Oh, yeah. That should be good. That's gonna be fun. It's gonna be kind of like where you kind of get used to it, and then you wish that you had it all the time.
Yeah, because I've been playing Borderlands and Call of Duty, and those both have sprint in it, and then when I go back to play Halo, and I'm like far away from something, and I want to get there, sprint, and press the button in it. Ugh, God, I'm so slow. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to be looking forward to that. But, you know, you do have to, like, kind of try all the army abilities before you find out which one you like the most and want to stay with most of the time.
And I can see where there's going to be, like, tons of strategy videos with people giving suggestions on, you know, which armor ability is, you know, better suited for different game types and stuff like that.
Also, did you read the weekly episode about what they said about grenades?
Yeah, they're going to have, like, a little light on them so you can see, kind of see them better when they're coming at you.
And a click noise before they go off.
Boom! So, yeah, that looks good. There's one thing about it having, like, an orange, like, tail or something like that. I'm not sure what they exactly mean by that, but
that's probably, like,
I hope it's not, like, with, like, Gears of War, where you can
no, like, it'd be, like, let's see. Where's your, pen?
What pen?
The light pen.
Oh, the laser pen.
Yeah. Here, let me show you what I think they mean is. So if you were to throw the grenade, there's gonna be a little light on, maybe like this,
yeah.
And when you throw it, then you're gonna see the light like a trail.
Okay.
Right. Like when you move it really fast and you can see it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it, the light trail. That's what I'm thinking, but we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And then, let's see, what else is there? I know they showed that elites can roll.
Yeah.
So, we don't know if that's, you know, specific to elites or
what. I
think
it is, because Bunzi's pull, so, you know, rolling elites die.
Mm-hmm.
And they showed, like, three different rules, and they're all elites.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know what would be awesome if... Because what with, like games like Mass Effect and stuff, and others where, you know, there's DLC and you can, you know, like, download, you know, like, new armor and stuff like that. I really hope that they do something like that with Reach, or, you know, enable it so they can add a different armor and stuff in the future.
And maybe armor abilities, too.
That would be interesting.
And possibly
as long as
weapons, but never know.
Yeah.
As long as it's not, like, so powerful that, like... Oh.
Yeah, because then it's kind of like, all the rich people can pay a premium to get this really cool armor ability. That would suck. Because it doesn't feel right.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh. There was... Apparently, they mentioned this in the weekly update, too. Like, someone had heard, like, some Bungie guy say something about Reach being released in November or something. And apparently, Bungie, you know, said that, you know, it's not official and stuff like that. So,
they don't
still
have
no release date.
They said that they don't officially have one, and as soon as they do, they're not going to hold it back. They're just going to let you know.
Yes.
Immediately. Which is good.
Mm-hmm. Just a little thing. When it comes out, let's say that there are different versions of it, like with Halo 3. Which one are you gonna get?
I'm not sure. It depends on. I'll have to wait and see. Cause with
definitely
ODST.
What comes
well, here, let's look at it this way. With ODST, there was the regular version, and then the one with which came with the controller, which was pointless, so just get the regular version. And then with Halo 3, there was a bunch of different ones, and you just got the regular one. But now, if you were into Halo this much and knew, would you have wanted to get the most expensive one?
Yeah.
So we're going to have to wait and see.
Mm-hmm.
If the most expensive one is really good, do you think you're going
to
get it?
Yeah, I'd definitely try and save up the money to get that. The thing that the reason I regret not getting, you know, like the most expensive edition is the bonus material that was on the DVD. That's the thing that I, most wanted.
Yeah.
Now, this has kind of been, you know, a topic of... like a controversy about like where games come out and then immediately there's downloadable content available. What is your opinion on that? How would you feel if they did something like that with Halo?
That's both good and bad, because I think it's actually more good than bad because, you know, as soon as it comes out, maybe they just have extra stuff in mind that they could make really quick, or maybe there wasn't room on the disc, so just put it on your hard drive.
I feel like there's no need to. I don't have to.
Yeah.
No.
Like, my feeling is that if they could put it, you know, in the game before it ships, then they should. But, like, the one way I can understand it is that, like, say, you know, they're working on something else, and it's not quite done. They don't have time to put it in. So then they can, you know, go ahead and finalize the game and send it to, you know, be mass-produced. And then, in the meantime, be, you know, finishing, like, this new map or whatever. And then, once it's released, then bang, it's available.
Really all they made before were new maps, but it would be cool to see other new stuff, too.
Yeah, like, you know, the armor.
Yeah, and with the stuff that's in Halo Reach, there's more possibilities to have to do stuff.
By the way, do you think that Bungie's going to have an exclusive armor like Recon?
I hope not, but I could see.
Because I kind of, like, I don't mind, you know, like, the flaming helmets and stuff like that. I can, you know, live without
that. I don't think I can handle another.
Yeah, I think that they kind of backfired on Bungie.
I feel like Recon is infamous enough and they can't top it.
Yeah, so
Recon is legendary.
So,
and then if it's like an armor ability,
that would just be unfair. Yeah. I don't think they would do that.
Then they could totally have an edge.
Yeah. But, like, I don't mind, you know,
nuke the map.
I don't mind, you know, their heads, you know, being on fire like in Halo 3, but so if they had, you know, another, you know, exclusive armor, it would kind of just be like, really, you didn't learn your lesson with Halo 3?
Yeah, something I'm looking forward to, hopefully something they do is only have armor abilities and balance them out so that no one really has an edge, but take out equipment and take out power-ups and have everything just an armor ability, right? Because you kind of, when you have a power-up, you kind of forget you have it, and a piece of equipment, like a regenerator or bubble shield, you just forget you have it, and then people rarely use them, and they're not that great.
Yeah, I'm fine with there, you know, not being equipment in
Reach.
Then
if it is, it doesn't matter anyway.
Yeah, but that brings up an interesting point that you mentioned. Now that, you know, the active camo and the overshield are going to be armor abilities, are there going to be, you know, like, the little power-ups within, you know, the multiplayer levels?
I don't think so, then, because for that one guy who put invisibility as his armor ability, then that's going to be pointless for him to walk into a an invisible power-up thing.
Very true. Okay, so I think that shall conclude our little Reach discussion, or 20-minute Reach discussion, or maybe 15 minutes, I don't know. Anyway, another thing to quickly just add, Bungie, you know, patented, like, this new new logo.
Yeah.
Bungie Aerospace. And apparently the Marathon logo, too. So, yeah.
What I'm hoping for, I think this would be awesome. You know how the enemies in Marathon, the main enemies were called the Four?
Mm-hmm.
P-A-H-F-O-R or something like that? What if the new game is called Marathon 4? Spelled like that, but it's like the fourth Marathon game.
Makes sense. Well, we don't know if they're making another Marathon.
Yeah.
If they patented that, makes sense. Plus they said, you know, their next project is new. As in, not Halo.
Yeah.
Which could mean Marathon.
Yeah. So, I know there's a lot of speculation that it could be, like, Bungie's gonna create their own, like, engine, and then, you know,
dominate,
like,
the world.
Like, yeah, like, lease that out to, like, other, you
well,
know,
they
developers
already,
to use.
Well, they already completed Step 6. I think Step 6 was the make a game that's the game that takes over the world. So like,
yeah, I think it's, you know, personally, I think it's their, like, sort of, you know, like, logo and name for the project of building the giant slingshot. You know, step okay. 7 to shoot their enemies into the sun.
Yeah, because you know what they said is, the slingshot is coming, but not in the form you expect. Something like that. Do you remember hearing that somewhere?
I don't know.
Well, whatever.
But anyway, it'd be cool if they, you know, like, create their own engine and kind of put it out, you know, for people to use.
Oh, you know what? It would be funny if their engine, they put it out for everyone to use.
And
it costs
doesn't
a bunch,
work.
Yeah, it costs a bunch of money, and only they can use it because it doesn't work for anybody else except for them. That's flinging them into the sun. Well, not really, but that'd be cool.
I like the idea of, like, them creating an engine and then Microsoft using it, you
but
know,
it doesn't work.
Microsoft using it for, like,
343.
Yeah, like, if they create a Halo game. Because then it's kind of like Microsoft has to pay Bungie to use this engine and stuff like that. It kind of be like getting back at Microsoft a little bit in a way. Because now that Bungie... The really exciting thing about, you know, Bungie creating their own IP is that, you know, they can fully own it now. And that, you know, they can do whatever they want with it, which I really like.
Hopefully Microsoft is not trying to buy it.
I don't think that they'll accept a deal from Microsoft now, because now that they've gotten noticed, they kind of don't need Microsoft anymore.
Here's a good question, Lane. So, if Bungie creates a game that looks really, really awesome, and it's a PS3 exclusive, do you get a PS3?
Yes.
Yeah,
I like Bungie more than I hate the PS3.
I'm afraid I'm gonna have to agree with
you. Yeah, I would, you know, PS3 save Slim up looks my good. Coins.
And have you seen the Move, the PlayStation Move?
Oh yeah, the little lighty up thing.
It's the Wii. It's like a Wii controller, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen like a demo of it? Apparently, it's.
I just saw, you know, the E3 stuff.
It works apparently better than the Wii control, which
the whole Wii thing I just hate. I mean, I'm not a fan of, you know, those, like, the nunchucks and stuff like that. If anything, you know, motion kind of controlled, I would go with Natal, just because, you know, it's breaking away a bit from the norm. I just feel like the PlayStation 3 is just trying to piggyback off of,
they're just,
you know,
doing that
the
so
Wii.
They're the only one that doesn't not have a...
Yeah.
A thing like that.
So,
and it looks just like a Wii controller, so that everyone who's used to the Wii can play too. Play with it.
Yeah, so I do
like the lighty up ball thing or whatever it is. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's like
it's so that I think the camera can, you know,
yeah, it's
track
like,
it.
Like the, what's the word? Motion capture.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of like that. Although, you know, the thing with Natal that's good is that you don't need any of that. You just, you know...
All you need is the Natal thing.
Yeah.
And doesn't it have a camera? Do you need the vision camera?
No, it's built in to the Natal thingy.
Like, Macs come with cameras already, so you don't have to buy a webcam like you do with the PC.
Yeah.
It's just free.
Although, now, to be fair, you know, a lot of PCs are, you know, trying to copy Apple and, you know, putting cameras in their things, too. At least for laptops and stuff. I'm not sure about monitors.
No iMovie or any of that.
Well, Windows Movie Maker, but,
oh,
you know
what I hear?
Let's face it, that sucks.
You know what I hear? Wait, hold on. Windows Movie Maker is better than iMovie because more, like, people that make movies that are in theaters use Windows Movie Maker.
You know what I heard? For what? Like, who?
Let me, let me tell you something that I heard. From these Oscars, these past Oscars, 82nd Oscars, they were just aired, these Oscars.
Oh, yes, we have to talk about that.
Well, the Oscars, 9 out of the 10 documentaries used Final Cut.
Ba-bang! That's awesome.
You haven't probably used Pinnacle 10.
What? Oh, jeez! Don't bring up Pinnacle. That is, like, not even. Don't go there. Okay.
It's taboo in this house.
Yeah. So, since you brought up the Oscars, why don't we just give, you know, very brief, what'd you think?
Avatar win?
I have to admit, I did see, you know, The Hurt Locker, and I thought, you know, I rented it. Netflix is awesome. Okay, so, I saw it, and, you know, like, so I could see, you know, if it won, you know,
was it best
why.
Picture, really?
Eh.
Was it better than Avatar?
For me, I would say it was equal. The reason I really wanted Avatar to win was so that, you know, people have been saying, you know, there's, you know, movies, which are more like, you know, the blockbusters, and then there are, quote, films, which are, you know, the artsy crap. Which always win the Oscars, and I'm really getting sick of that. So I kind of wanted, you know, like a blockbuster to win. And I think the last time that happened was, you know, Return of the King, which was, you know, awesome.
Yeah.
Although, I must admit, I did want District 9 to win. Although
My vote would have gone to District 9 also.
Yeah. Although I didn't think it was going to win, I, you know, wanted it to win.
Maybe I think it was between Avatar and The Hurt Locker, and I would have said Avatar.
Mm. I'm Pixar just owns the animation category. They win every time. I mean, like...
Like, no competition.
And there's no way they're going to lose Toy Story 3.
Like, let's put it this way.
I could see it maybe happening.
Let's
but
put it this way. With Shrek, maybe.
Don't get me started on Shrek. That is just... They're beating a dead horse into the ground.
If How to Train Your Dragon happens to win next year...
I'm going to go berserk.
I will strangle... Something. Until it is dead.
Yourself?
I will strangle something until it is dead. I don't know what I'm going to strangle.
A dragon?
A dragon! A dragon.
Yeah, that you know comes out of my birthday.
Pretty well. A dragon.
So, yeah, I'm also really glad that that Up won, you know, best score. Because... It really deserved that. It was really good. Yeah. And the Hurt Locker was nominated, and I was afraid that was going to win. Because the thing with the Hurt Locker is there's not really any music, and when it is, it's just like this one piece of music, and you can't really remember it. It's not as memorable as, you know, Up. A theme that you totally remember.
Was the Hurt Locker Call of Duty the movie?
You could say that.
But wasn't it about, like, a bomb
Yeah, it's squad? About, you know, the EOD guys. And they tried to make it, you know, like, really realistic, but I was, like, reading reviews on iTunes, and apparently, you know, a bunch of these guys who were, you know, in the army and stuff saw it, and they, like, laughed and stuff because it wasn't realistic. But, I don't know, I thought, you know, as realistic as you're going to get with, you know, a Hollywood movie.
All right, let's move on. Next topic.
Alrighty.
What's the next topic?
Next topic, we got emails.
Emails.
Yay.
Thank the Lord. Okay.
Emails.
By the way, they are from the same person, but that doesn't matter. Okay, so... Alright, our first one. It says, hey guys, sorry I didn't get a email in last podcast. Anyways, I was wondering if you guys are going to put Project Black Knight stuff in the shop. P.S. Lane, do you like Mass Effect 2?
I guess we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, we'll talk about Mass Effect 2 later. Project Black Knight stuff.
Wait, let me just quickly say, why ask Lane when me, being Kyle, is the biggest Mass Effect fan in the room? And it is my second favorite game of all time.
Well, I think Lane can attest to that as well, but...
Yeah, like, I told you.
Oh, we'll get to this later.
Okay, okay. Yeah, okay, so, if we, put out a new episode of Project Black Knight.
If not, when?
then, it would not surprise me if we put, you know, some merchandise up there. Of course, you know, it would just be the logo, because that's all we can put, really. And, you know, have, you know, our website on the back and stuff. So,
if you want to support us, though, don't feel you have to wait for this. Go out and buy some stuff already, because, you know.
Yeah, we have nice shirts with our, you know, our logo on it.
We have the awesome Lane's Soundcheck to Marlin, whatever that was called.
The what?
Soundtrack.
Oh, yeah, the soundtrack. The soundtrack.
Yeah, but...
I'm thinking, as far as I know, no one has bought it. If you have bought it, please let me know. Because, I would like to thank you. So
personally.
I'm thinking maybe I should, like, if I can even drop the price. I think it's at, like, close to, you know, like, the lowest you can go as far as the price. But I'm thinking, you know, there's enough music, you know, to do, you know, like, a volume 2. But I'm thinking about, you know, just, like, releasing that as, you know, like, a straight download form. Just for free, since people haven't, you know, bought the other one.
You need to do that contest. Yeah. Just so that somebody can get it.
But we'll see. Okay. Next one. Alright. This is also by Matt. He says, are you guys going to have a chat room for the TPMAs this year, too? Because I missed last year's. Damn it, I miss everything. Sue me. Kidding. Bye. Sent from my iPod.
Yes.
I was going to say iPod Touch, but I had to cut it short. It just says iPod. works for me.
So, yeah, if I think we'll do like what we did last year and have the TPMAs.
Well, maybe know, we'll like, advertise. Live. We'll advertise them a little bit more.
Yeah, definitely. We'll probably, you know, like, stream it like we did on our Ustream feed.
We'll, get some Super Bowl commercials up there, too. On TV, you know.
Yeah, when you earn $1 million to, enable that, let me know. Okay, so, now this dovetails very nicely into the TPMAs for 2010. I must announce that voting is now up. You can now vote. So, excuse me.
Whoa!
That's what you get from drinking soda. Okay, so, go to our website, thomasproductionsinc.com, and by then there will be a page in the menu that says TPMA. So you click there, then it'll take you to a page on our website, and then below is like a link to, you know, our poll, where you can, you know, select and choose, you know, movies in different categories. So, like, what? For instance, you know, we have a bunch of categories, you know, most of them are, you know, like, the same as last year's, but we do have, you know, like, one new one. So, like, there's, like, best stunts, best visual effects, best cinematography. So, like, for best cinematography, nominated, we have Willy's Beach, Marlin Episode 43, Space Invasion, Sunset Old Folks Home, and Forbidden Love. So,
you have best script up there? Best script in film?
No. Or,
Plane.
Jeez. I don't know.
We don't have enough scripted films to do that yet.
Well, it'd be basically down to, you know, Sunset, Old Folks Home, which is by you, and Forbidden Love is by you. You came up with Halo News.
Yeah, and then there's Sunset.
Yeah, you contributed to that too. So, yeah, there's not really, we don't do that enough, I think, to constitute a category. But anyway,
We're getting back on the script.
Wagon. Okay, so you can go there and then vote, and then you can submit. I'm not sure if it, please, you know, I'm going to trust you. Please only submit, you know, one vote per, you know, person. Even if you have, you know, multiple email addresses, please just vote once. That would be, you know, the best. That would be the fair way. Don't be a meanie. Okay, so the deadline for when voting is going to be closed, it's nice and, you know, pretty far away. So we can get, you know, hopefully a lot of votes. The deadline will be on Sunday, April 18th, 2010, at 11:59 p.m.
And the votes will be revealed at a later date.
Yes.
And the later date will be revealed at a later date as well.
Correct. So, I made all this up, you know, TPMAs, they're ready to be voted on. I did remember, though, that last year there was something about, you know, like, a limit where only, like, 30 people can vote, just basically because it's, you know, a free service, basically, on, you know, webs.com. So, I'm not sure if that still is a factor this time.
So, please only vote once.
And if it's carried over from last time, we might run into a bit of trouble, because I think, we were reaching the limit last time, so I'm not sure if it, you know, if it reset or what, so.
If it's a new poll, it might.
If we run into any troubles, we'll, you know, announce it on our Twitter. By the way, follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/ThomasProInc.
And follow Lemon Man.
You follow can Cottonswell.
Just go to the
and follow Marlon.
Let's go to the list and follow everybody.
Yeah. So, please vote. We'd really appreciate it. By the way, thanks, Matt, for the emails. We really, really, really appreciate it.
Yes. Here's a special thank you to you for being the first emailer in a very long time. Thank you deeply.
Bye, Kevin.
Yes. See, that's what you get when you email in. You get a thank you.
Oh, and you can call in, too. You also get
you know what? Thank you. Kevin, what is that number?
I don't know. What is it, Liam?
208-474-2690.
It is 208-474-2690.
You're so smart.
I am so smart. As my... I'm Kyle. My personal thank you to you. I will say your name. Thank you, Max.
Fail! Okay.
Matt.
Okay, thank so... All right, yeah, so
thanks, Max.
if you want to email in, please do so. Send an email to podcast@thomasproductionsinc.com. Send it anything, and I mean anything.
Hey, we'll nobody, read it. Nobody told me how they tie their shoes.
What's going to be your little question for this week? Now that we might have
actually, it's Kyle's question of the week. If you didn't forget,
it is. I wasn't aware.
I'm not aware of that either. What do you mean?
I've had so far two Kyle's questions of the week. Or, I guess it's supposed to be week, but it's more like month now.
Yeah, so why don't you both do something?
Okay, Kyle's question of the episode. Coke, Pepsi, or Dr. Pepper? My vote goes to Dr. Pepper.
I'm gonna go to Coke.
I would have to be with you, Kevin. Coke.
You're drinking Pepsi right now?
That's what we had.
Okay. And then my question would have to be, see, Max or PCs, I guess, since we were talking about that.
My regular PCs.
Yeah, I'm a Mac guy.
I'm a Mac, too, if you couldn't tell.
All right, so, yeah, email in, podcast@thomasproductionsinc.com, anything. I mean anything. We're desperate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, email us if you're a Call of Duty person or a Halo person. No. Don't email us in if you're a Call of Duty person, because I will come to your house and kill you.
Way to go. Okay, so, let's talk about some other stuff. We just released a new Marlon episode 48, called The Bodyguard.
I believe it was the shortest episode of all time.
Yes.
Well, no, there was the 3-minute episode where we premiered the Black Knight trailer.
That wasn't
3 minutes.
I think it was about 3 minutes.
I don't think so. I thought that the shortest one up until now was... I thought it was lunch. The playground. Or... lunch or the playground?
Not playground.
Let me... No,
it's too much work. Okay, so... Yeah, it's basically really short. It's like 5 minutes long. So, that's just... We're trying to maybe... For the episode while we were filming it, we were trying to... get back to kind of like the earlier days of Marlon, where we didn't, you know, explain a lot of stuff. It just kind of happened. But basically, we got a little carried away, and we kind of went a little bit too much, and it got a little too condensed, but it's still okay. It is what it is.
And it is Marlon, and it is hilarious.
And we do have another episode filmed.
Yeah.
That... We can't say anything there.
Yeah, it has yet to be captured to the Mac.
But we have made it, so there's another one coming.
Yeah. And we're trying, because we're, you know, only doing like 4 episodes in this, you know, in between, you know, February and summer, we're trying to space it out. So unfortunately that means that 49 will probably hit in April.
But Lane has been doing the Marlon highlights, which should hold you over.
Yeah, hopefully. Now, also, we do have some stuff in plan for Marlon episode 50. I'm not sure if we're ready to release details. We still have to work some stuff out.
Wait, I don't know what you're talking about.
Some very exciting stuff.
Excuse me
while, you know, like, we're whispering and stuff. So, yeah, some very possibly exciting stuff.
Possibly.
All depends on what happens. And it may get even more exciting, depending on, you know, something else. So, that's some stuff for you to think about.
So it's gonna be possibly exciting and maybe more exciting.
Yeah, basically.
Or it could be really disappointing.
So, you could expect that. I'm guessing May, I'm just saying, May. May or June.
Or December.
No, it definitely won't be December. It'll, you know...
Oh, by the way,
sooner than later.
After Reach comes out, there'll probably be a break from Marlins, because like what we did when Halo 3 came out, we're going to have a little bit of time to get used to.
We're gonna have to study Reach.
Yeah.
And by that I mean...
Get a bit of time to get to know it, maybe find out if it is right for Marlins or not.
Yeah, and by that mean, we're just going to have a good time playing multiplayer.
Yes.
So,
and then we can start doing some Reach TP community events.
Yes, that will be very exciting.
Unless they somehow don't allow custom games or something.
That's not possible. Don't even joke about that, Kevin. Don't even joke about that. They've already confirmed all the features, you know, from Halo 3 are moving over to Halo Reach. So, we're good. And, you know, split screen is coming.
No!
Now, what are they going to do about weapon lowering? Is it going to be like Halo 3 where...
God, I hope not.
Yeah. I know, you know, the reasoning was because people were going to exploit it, but people really got fed up, apparently. I'm not exactly one of those people.
I don't see how that's going to change the game.
Yeah, it was just some people would find a way maybe to somehow use that to cheat. I don't know how. Anyway, so also, we're gonna work on some new live action videos.
Yes, we have. We currently
cook up a new batch.
Yeah, we currently have about three planned. We're about to film one when we're done with this podcast. Just right before we started recording this one, Lane told me about another one. And then yesterday, I came up with one, which I'm not gonna tell you anything about except. That I want to call it A Moment of Indecency with Thomas Productions.
And it is based on a true story.
True, yes. What happened, what's going to happen in
happened
that movie really
many years
happened.
Ago.
It really, really happened.
Not many years ago. Like, one.
A few years ago.
Yeah.
Not 1 year.
Yeah, it was longer than
but
that.
But it is a true story. Remember this. The Moment of Indecency with Thomas Productions is a true story. Well,
no. I say based on a true story. That's the way you cover your bases.
Yeah.
If we modify it, it's based on a true
more
story.
Like, not story, more like based on a true event.
Yeah.
An actual happening.
So,
it really happened, and now we're turning it into a movie. Because we thought it was so funny when it happened that we just had to... Well, no. We thought it was so funny that it happened. And then, just yesterday, I was like, hey, we should do this movie... And Lane was like, I like! And it takes about 5 seconds to film and 5 seconds to edit. Well, not really, but it's really short. Alright, let's start talking about that.
Okay, so, yeah, look forward to that. We released a new Halo News video. I think since, you know, our last podcast, this was released, so we're telling you about it. It's basically like the first one, only it's longer, and it talks about Halo Reach. So, you can go watch it.
Yes.
Please do.
I think it's a little funnier. My favorite part is, it's gonna be some new weapons!
There's gonna be some new weapons! And the sniper rifle.
That looks exactly like
a
bird.
Kyle is pointing to the visual interpretation of the audio.
By
GarageBand.
It looks like a falconer. Some awesome
Falcon.
Bird. It's gonna be a cross between a sniper rifle and a battle rifle. What I do with my hands, you can see that.
What would be awesome is to make a t-shirt and like with like the blacked out like outline of the hands, and the first one would be, you know, the sniper rifle symbol with, you know, the words sniper rifle, and then the battle rifle one. It says battle rifle.
That's a good idea. On the front and back.
No, it's gonna say.
No, it
has to have the line on it. It's gonna be like the DMR. Gonna be like a cross between a sniper rifle and a battle rifle.
Or like DMR cross between sniper rifle. And
that's a great idea, Lane. You have to do.
We have to find a way to do that. Okay.
It's another bird. Wait, okay.
With a longer tail.
It's a plane.
Wait, let me see if I can make one here.
No, you gotta.
You have to finish it off. Oh, I did it.
Okay,
just probably really boring for this.
Yeah.
Okay. Listeners. So. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
So also, we have a fan page on Facebook. We did create a group a while back, but unfortunately it could not, you know, be linked with Twitter, and that's a major downside. So we created a new fan page. And it is linked with our Twitter account. So now anything that we put on Twitter is going to show up on our Facebook fan page. So it's going to update, you know, regularly. So go ahead and fan us, please. Just type in, you know, Thomas Productions Inc. at Facebook and we'll show up. Yes. Remember, join the fan page and not the group, because the group's not going to be updated anymore.
Forget about the group.
Yeah. And also, not only is it linked with our Twitter, but it's also directly linked with, you know, a bunch of other sites that we update. Like, it's directly linked to our YouTube page and our TPCast page. So, hopefully when we post this episode, it'll, you know, pop up on our Facebook page and you can, you know, like, click a little player and it'll play. It'll be awesome. The only downside to that is that it also updates whenever we, you know, post something new. It also updates to Twitter, which means that anything that we do is going to be posted twice on the Facebook page. But I think it's okay. It's worth it. Like, for instance, like for, you know, the latest Marlin that we did, at first Kyle or someone posted, check out our, you know, our new Marlin episode. And then it posted, you know, automatically posted the video from, you know, our YouTube feed. And then it automatically posted our, you know, Twitter announcement that we have a new episode. So, yeah, it's going to post stuff multiple times, but I think that's, you know, okay. I think we can live with that. It's better to have the updates than, you know, not have as many.
Yeah.
So, that's going to be great. Fan us. While you're also on it, fan, you know, Marlin, and become a friend of Cotton Swab. By the way, getting back to the TP fan page, let's see if we can get 25 fans. Because once we hit 25 fans, we can get a custom URL. Like, for instance, facebook.com/Thomas Productions. Right now, it's a bunch of just, like, random mumbo-jumbo.
Also, you can become a fan of our band, Trey Unity.
We're working on some new songs.
Yeah, maybe you should put like a link to that on your website and stuff, so that, because even though we're not like an official part of Thomas Productions, it should be noted.
So, like an association?
Yeah.
Like, hey, these same guys make awesome music.
Yeah.
Julie's awesome.
Yeah, really, like, it really is. I'm so excited to start recording the new one, too.
Yeah.
We're making another album, and it's, I have to say, it's better than the first one.
We'll see. Okay, so, now, someone mentioned Mass Effect 2. Matt did. Not Max, Matt. So, alright, we'll go into... No, wait, hang on. I can't really play the sound because it's not really a movie review. It's a game review, basically. And actually, we're going to review multiple games. We're going to review Mass Effect 2. Awesome. We're going to review Borderlands.
Awesome.
Yeah. And and we're going to review A Dark Sector. We'll tell you what we think about that. And we'll tell you what we think about that. Alright, so one thing that I will play is our spoiler alert, because there will be spoilers.
Status report! Captain, we have incoming spoilers off the port bow! Quick, evasive maneuvers!
Negative, Captain! There are too many of them! They're coming in fast!
Oh, crap! Quick, brace for impact! Ah!
Okay, so... Alright, let's start off with good old Mass Effect 2. Alright, Kyle, let's let you lead this.
Mass Effect 2 is the second greatest game of all time.
What is your first?
Halo Combat Evolved.
All right. PC. Not really. I just don't agree with your opinions. Anyway, continue.
So Halo Combat Evolved.
Yes, awesome.
Yeah, Mass Effect 2. I didn't like it as much as Mass Effect when I first started playing it, but by the time I finished it, I just wanted to say it was my favorite game, but I couldn't say no to Halo, because the Halo experience was incredible. But Mass Effect 2 is so good. You cannot miss it. And the story and the characters are just going to mean so much more to you if you have played the first game. So I definitely recommend play Mass Effect before you play Mass Effect 2.
Yes. I must concur with Kyle. I really liked it. It had, you know, like, it improved on every element, you know, from Mass Effect 1. Like, you know, those horrid driving levels, they were gone. The elevator rides, they were gone. I didn't really, you know, like the loading screens that much, but they were better than the long elevator rides. And also, I really liked the streamlined, you know, like, the menu system where, you know, you customize your character and stuff and allocate points to certain categories, because it was so confusing in Mass Effect 1 that I just found out that you could allocate points, like, right towards the very end. So, I wasn't able to take advantage of that. Believe it or not.
What?
So, I'm happy that they did that. The only downside I could see, it, and there's no way to really, you know, help with this, is just that, because Mass Effect 1, you know, introduced you to the universe, and, you know, the species and the characters, it was more, I felt, in-depth. You really got
immersive.
Yeah, immersed in Mass Effect 1 more
I feel like
than Mass Effect 2.
I feel like Mass Effect 2 is better than that because it's more character-driven than... You have more choices with what you can do with certain people, with the loyalty missions and all that. It's more definitely a lot more character-driven than Mass Effect 1, which I liked.
Now, for Mass Effect 3, I think BioWare said this, that they're really looking forward to doing Mass Effect 3, because since it's the last of the Mass Effect games, as far as we know, it could basically end anyway. You could have so many, you know, like, endings, it could just, you know, be turned loose.
Mm-hmm.
So, that would be really cool. And, you know, I have a feeling that, you know, once Mass Effect 3 is out and stuff, that they have, you know, the fan base and stuff, that were, if they made, you know, like, another Mass Effect game, like its own, you know, like, story and stuff,
you know,
separate
awesome
from Shepard's, then.
A Mass Effect,
like ODST?
Kind of like that, yeah.
It'd be cool, a Mass Effect side-scroller. This sounds kind of fun to me.
Yeah, they could do that. And, you know, Mass Effect is really branching out into, like, kind of like another Halo, where they're starting to get, you know, books, you know, comics, stuff like that in, which is, you know, really good. I personally, I'm not, you know, reading it. I'm not sure what they have out there. I just want to say, Garrus spinoff novel.
That would be incredible.
About
I know him
being, you know, like, cop and stuff.
I know that the guy who wrote one of the books was the lead writer of Mass Effect 1, so you know that it's going to be good.
Yeah. So, alright, stars. How many?
There's no way that it could be anything other than 5 out of 5 for me.
Yeah, you know, I'll second that. I'll give it 5 out of 5. I don't do that often enough. There's not many games that warrant that nowadays.
Like Fallout 3 does.
I must disagree, but that's just my own personal
feelings.
You just
didn't get into it. If you had got past that part and just kept playing, it's the most amazing game I've ever played.
Okay. I feel like, you know, so many games try to do that, and almost all of them fail. And that because this one, you know, actually got it right, I feel like I should, it, you know, is, it deserves.
Five out of five.
Okay, Kevin. Borderlands.
Alright, so
Since this is a Kevin exclusive review. Yeah. Since neither of you have played it, I guess I'll just be talking about myself here. So,
excuse me.
So the first thing I want to point out that you guys, if you've seen anything about Borderlands, you probably already noticed, is that the graphics are kind of comic booky, and I actually really like that. It's something new, it's different, and I think it looks very good. It doesn't distract from the game at all, if you're worried about that.
Yeah, because I was a bit worried about that when I first saw it. I'm like, well, it looks interesting, but the style of the graphics looks kind of weird. I'm not sure if I could take it for, you know, like, how many hours I'm going to be playing it.
After the first couple times you play it, you don't even notice it at all.
That's good to know.
Yeah. And then, so story-wise, I've heard that the story isn't so good. People don't like it. I don't think it's bad, but I'm not going to go super spoiler here, because I think you might want to play it.
Yeah.
So I'll just give you the main storyline. What you do is, you start out just as this one person, and they're a vault hunter. And they're trying to find the vault, which, I don't know, it's kind of mysterious. Nobody knows what's in there, so they're really trying to do it, and it can only be... The vault can only be opened once every 200 years, and you need a vault key to open it, and there are different parts of the vault key that, throughout the game, you're going around getting all the different parts of the vault key from everyone who has them, and combining them into the vault key, which at the end is used to open the vault. I'm not going to tell you what's in the vault, because... I'm just not going to say anything beyond that. What's in the vault?
Okay, so how about gameplay mechanics?
Gameplay mechanics, the controls are exactly the same as Call of Duty. There's no difference, except for one, the left bumper. So the right bumper is still grenades, and the left bumper is your class ability. So there are four different classes that you can choose. The one, there's the soldier, which... he throws, when you press the left bumper, he throws a shield slash turret, which you can hide behind as a shield, and it's a turret, so it shoots stuff. You can upgrade it. Then there's, I don't remember what it's called, but there's this other guy who's really big and really powerful, and his ability is, I don't know what it's called, but he gets really strong, and it's really hard to take damage. And he starts punching people, and he gives out a lot of damage. And then there's the Siren, which is the only girl that you can play as. And what happens with her is... I'm not sure exactly what the Siren power does, but... she goes invisible, so you can't see her, and then she goes around really fast, and she can hit people, I guess.
Now...
and then there's one more.
Okay.
And that's the one I chose, which worked out so well. I'm really happy I chose this one. His name is Mordecai, and he's... the hunter, and he has a pet bird called Bloodwing, and it can't take any damage. It just goes out, and it's really powerful, and it sometimes kills people, sometimes just takes damage, or not takes damage, it damages them, and it's really helpful, and once you upgrade it enough that it can take out multiple enemies at once, is great.
Alright, so now, one thing that makes Borderlands distinct from other games besides, the art style also is the ability that it, like, generates, you know, weapons and stuff, and there's basically, you know, unlimited weapon combinations.
They created a weapon system that makes random weapons with random names that, like, for if they want to make a sniper, they'll put a different body and a different scope and different damage and all this, so they can have thousands of snipers, thousands of pistols, shotguns, SMGs, rifles, anything. Rocket launchers, too.
Now, say, once you find a weapon, like say you find a sniper, and it's, like, your new best friend, it's, you know, favorite, is there a way to, you know, like, keep it so you have it for the rest of the game? Or do you have to eventually give it up?
Well, actually... throughout the game, you'll start finding more and more powerful weapons. So when you get your first sniper that's, like, 150 damage, you're like,
oh my god, I can't wait to use this, because sometimes they have a level cap, like you have to be level 13 to use this one or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh, I can't wait to use it, and then as soon as you unlock level 15, you put on that 150 damage sniper, and then you'll discover one that's 180, and you're like, oh my god, and then 212, and then 300 something, and my sniper right now, the most powerful one I found is, I think it's 414, which is really a really high damage. So once you find a better one, then you're going to want to put down yours and
so, get the new one. So, like, is the ammo... I think you might have mentioned something about this to me before, but, like, is ammo, you know, plentiful so that you don't have to give up a weapon just because you don't have ammo for it?
Yes. What they did with this game is random loot, so if you're kind of using your sniper a lot, then you'll probably find sniper ammo around a lot. If you're switching to your shotgun, then you're going to find shotgun ammo a lot. If you're running out of health, then when you kill someone, they might pop a health vial out. And so that's really helpful, the way they did that. If you start using grenades, then, you know, you'll find grenades more. So that's really helpful with the loot. So you don't... If you run out of ammo, it's not really a problem. You'll find some more soon.
So, like, all, like, the sniper ammo will work with all the snipers?
Yes.
Alright. Anything else?
Well, I just found the game to be a really awesome, amazing game. There are some difficult parts. It gets kind of hard towards the end, but it's, also, there's a couple hard parts at the beginning, but once you get past the hard parts, sometimes the hard parts are fun because they're challenging, there's something different to do. Kyle watched me for lots of the hard parts and he just stayed in there watching because it's such a fun game to just look at, I guess. I really enjoyed it. IGN gave it an 8.8. I can't see it getting anything lower than an 8.8 out of 10. I would maybe give it a 8.9 or a 9 out of 10. It's not the best game of all time, but it's really good. It's worth picking up, I think. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to make you play it.
Okay.
Let's see. Out of 5, I'm going to have to give it a 4 out of 5. No, not 4 out of 5. A 4.5 out of 5.
4.5 out of 5.
Yeah. I think it's a very good game. I just finished it today, so I'm going to get some of the DLC. They've already said they're making more DLC too. So.
Nice. And it's made by Gearbox, correct? Mm-hmm. Who helped make the version of Halo for computers.
Yeah. And something else to point out is that this game, they, before it came out at like E3 and stuff, they were saying that they based this game off of all their favorite games, right?
Mm-hmm.
They made it, like, you can, when you're playing through it, you can see the influences that they had, like, the controls are taken from Call of Duty, the, you'll see kind of Bioshock-type moments, there are just a ton of games that you can totally tell they base it off of, which I think is really cool to be able to see that.
Alright.
Yes.
So, now,
I definitely recommend it.
Yeah. So, does Fallout 3 still beat out Borderlands, in your opinion?
Well, that's hard, because if they seem kind of the same, they're totally different games, they're really hard to compare, because, on one hand, Borderlands isn't really an RPG, it's an RPS, which is, you know, role-playing shooter. It's mostly a shooter, but you can play it like a role-playing game, kind of like, it's kind of like Bioshock, but it's a little bit more role-playing than that. I would have to say Fallout 3 is a little better, in my opinion, but that shouldn't back you down. I think you'll like this one. You know, I like Fallout 3 more, but that's just me. Something else about Borderlands is I loved it so much that I told myself I was going to do every single quest in the game, and I'm pretty sure I did. I just finished it today, and I think I got every... I know I finished all the main quests. I'm pretty sure I did all the side quests. I looked it up, and I can't find one that I didn't do, like, on the Borderlands wiki, which is helpful to have. So, yes. There you go.
All right. Now we have one last game to review. As I recall, this is going to be a Lane and Kyle exclusive.
I didn't play it.
Yeah. This little gem is called Dark Sector, and my brother got an Xbox for Christmas, and there were some games packaged with, you know, the Xbox. It was like one of those bundles, and one of them, you know, was this game, and, you know, it's rated M, so you can play it, so I'm like, hey, I'll try it out. Okay, this game sucks. It's called Dark Sector. I hate it.
There's nothing more to be said other than negative 105.
Okay, so basically, by the way, this is where that spoiler alert is going to come in, because I'm going to totally spill the beans. Okay? Not that there's any really beans to spill.
Any juicy bean.
Yeah.
So those dry, wrinkly ones.
Yeah, you start out as this, you know, like...
one thing, I have to say this really quickly. I watched a little bit of Kyle playing it. The graphics did surprise me. The graphics looked a little bit... they looked pretty good.
Yeah, the graphics were, you know, fairly good. I think, if I'm correct, it came out in 2005, and...
that's really incredible for that, but I don't...
Here, I happen to have the case.
You haven't burned it yet?
No, I told you. I tried to throw it in Mount Doom, but it wouldn't burn. It's, like, indestructible. So, yeah. Kyle... so I'll talk about the game while Kyle works. So basically, you start up as this guy. I think the game must have been like produced in Russia or something, because it takes place in like Russia. And you're this like secret agent guy who's trying to stop this like virus or something. The virus starts like turning people into like
Dark Sector 2008.
Oh, okay. So I'm wrong. So it like starts turning like people into metal and stuff, or some people turn into metal guys, and some turn into, like, zombies. By the way, I know, you know, like, the whole zombie craze, you know, it's, you know, I get it that it's fun to fight zombies. Do zombies have to be in every game?
Also,
I'm starting to get a teensy bit tired of fighting zombies.
It's probably worth mentioning that the zombies in this game are zero fun. They're
scary. It's like once they start coming... you fight them for, like, a really long time before they stop.
Before you realize that they're not going to stop, also.
And so you get infected, you go and you try and kill this guy or something, but you get captured by him, and he purposely, you know, infects you with this virus. And it slowly starts turning you into, like, this metal thingy that can throw this blade. The blade is, you know, pretty cool. I found that the controls were a little funky.
I definitely had to adjust the sensitivity.
Yeah,
this guy is ugly on the cover.
You would not believe how ugly he is in the game. His mouth, I want to sock him so badly. you will not believe.
I want to...
yeah, I'm going to hide it behind
you. You know what I want to
do?
I just figured out when I'm going to strangle his voice actor.
Well, no, I'll be fair, he could have hated the game. It's not his fault. Strangle the guy who they modeled the character after.
Punch him in the face.
Well, yeah, so you get this like glaive or something, and you're throwing it around, and you can behead people, and you know, it's pretty cool. And then you just keep doing it. And you do it for the rest of the game, and you progress. They try and, you know, throw some story in there. It utterly fails. There's an equally annoying female character in this game.
I didn't even get that far. I didn't even
okay.
get through.
Okay, so you know, spoilers right here. so you know that metal guy by that, you know, the fugly guy with the beard, the main bad guy. You know the metal, you know his like metal sidekick guy. She's the metal sidekick.
Okay.
You kind of...
you know, nobody could have seen that one.
I know. I mean, you know, it's kind of like, you know, the typical, you know, they're frenemies. You know, it seemed like they had a past, but now they're enemies.
Oh, that's gay.
Yeah, so... yeah, but I mean, you know, they fit perfectly together, because, I mean, they're, you know, they're so annoying. They look... I'm going into a rage or something. So also
must kill game.
So the let's go back to the controls real quick. Like once I started out, it was like you. I had to turn the sensitivity way. I forget. I think it was way up.
It was within.
Yeah, because now to be fair, I think that this was intended to be a PlayStation 3 game. Yeah, and it also happened to come out, you know, for the Xbox 360. So that could be why, or it could just, you know, provide more evidence that the PlayStation 3 is not as good as the Xbox. But anyway, so
the sensitivity is like, if I wish you could see me right now, when you're going like,
yeah, you have to. It's really whacked out, and they have like a cover system that's like Gears of War, only it is way suck.
I love the cover system in Gears of War, and especially Mass Effect 2.
Yeah,
the Gears of War cover system was good.
The Gears of War cover system is number one. Mass Effect is closely behind. There are, you know, a couple of times in Mass Effect where I get messed up on the cover, but that I could blame my retarded controller.
How was it in Casino Royale? I know that had a cover system.
That was up there. That was like Mass Effect 2 level. It's pretty good.
I'm surprised that it's good for a first person shooter.
Yeah, so
does it go into third person?
In Casino Royale? Yeah. So the cover system in this, it's way flawed, and I'd be like pressing to get into cover and the guy would keep rolling. Like, and I'm like, get in the cover, I'm getting shot. Jeez. And so I get him in the cover. Now, did you fight any bosses, Kyle, or did you just throw in the towel before then?
Just that one enormous monster at the beginning.
Were you fighting the church, or? Oh, not even that far.
It was just the huge guy who was running around stomping you, and then he ran away. He's orange, I think.
Okay, so
do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
It's like the Hulk, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So there are these, the game, oh my gosh, it's just, it's so bad, in my opinion. It sucks. The boss battles, there's this other, like,
yeah. Is that a great idea? You could do a Sean Connery's Gaming Corner for this game. Make him explode.
I'm literally Sean Connery, like, in, like, playing this game.
I think you should do that, though. That'd be hilarious.
Or maybe, is it too... I could really get in the zone and get into some Sean Connery rage.
Do it for real?
Yeah.
It'll be real.
I could do Lane's Gaming Corner. You know, it'd be exactly the same points. So,
no, but seriously, don't forget to do that.
So, there are these, like, robot guys, which get so annoying to kill. The only way to kill them is to basically just throw your knife thingy at them a million times until they die. And sometimes you have to go up close and you, like, do a little finishing move for, you know, some flair added in there. And sometimes you can just, if you're lucky, you can just, they'll eventually die. But what sucks about it is you know, there was this one part, I played it so many times, at least like 7 times. You'd go in and you have to, you know, fight a bunch of guys that come at you, and then, you know, the robot guy in the suit shows up, and he alternates from a machine gun to, you know, like a little rocket launcher thingy. So you have to throw the glaive at him. I don't know how many times. It has to be like at least 30 or something like that. And then, so you're fighting this guy. And you could, you know, I was killing him and stuff, and then even if you're behind cover, he, you know, like, shoots one rocket, and it goes past you and hits just kind of near you, and it kills you instantly. And I had to do that part so many times, it just got so annoying.
There was no difficulty, was there?
And
no difficulty choice?
I thought there was.
Maybe.
Because one of the achievements is to complete it, you know, like, on the highest difficulty. Which of course I'm not gonna do.
Oh yeah, Borderlands has no difficulty thing either, so you can't make it easier, you can't make it harder. It's both. It's not like easy, it's not hard, it's perfectly
attuned to your
Yeah, point. Because I'm just gonna say this really quickly. if you're at, say, level 20, then the enemies that you're going to be fighting in that part of the main storyline will be about level 22. And then, but if you were to go back to a place later, then they're going to be back to level 20 if you're level 30. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's it.
All right, so, and then, you know, later in the game, then, you know, two robot guys show up, and you have to fight them both at the same time. It's true. Luckily, they have this, you know, it's kind of like Gears of War, where they have this little thing where you get to drive a vehicle for, you know, like, a really short amount of time.
8 seconds?
Yeah, basically, like that. And then the guy who with the beard, by the way, there was like really serious frame rate issues or something like that, because at some points, like right after a checkpoint or something, it would like speed up and become all like kind of fast. Mm-hmm. And then the final boss battle, it was really hard and stuff. It's like where these tentacles come out and the stupid zombie guys are coming out, and you have to kill them and try and kill the guy at the same time. The frame rate dropped so much, I could barely, you know, control my guy. It was so bad. And then, once you kill the guy, then, you know, that's basically it, you know. Not really any, you know, follow-up on, you know, the story. Actually, I guess that would be impossible because there really wasn't one. So, I mean, don't waste your time with this game. It's not even worth the achievements that you're going to get for it. If you're going to get achievements, do it playing a game that you're going to actually enjoy. With this game, after like the first, you know, like right after, you know, the first like two levels, I couldn't wait for it to be over. That's how it was for me. And it's basically, you do the same thing over and over again for, like, 10 levels. They try and throw some story at you, but it doesn't stick. I give this 0 out of 5 stars. It's, you know, I would say it's the worst game I've ever played.
Really? Wow. Wait, how can you give it 0 out of 5 when you gave it 5 out of 10 on your Twitter? That would be equally 2.5 out of 5 stars.
Yeah, but I don't know.
It's different.
You must have been in a good mood.
Yeah. I'm in rage mode right now.
Talking bad to get you angry.
I'm like the Hulk. You don't like me when I'm angry.
Okay, if you were to seriously review this for, like, IGN, and they do it out of 10, a serious review for it,
remember that 10 from IGN is very, very, very hard to get.
Yeah. It's, like, impossible.
What do you think you'd give it?
If I was, like,
only one game in history has been given 0, I believe. 0.0.
What was it?
So, if I was, say, a typical person working at IGN, I would probably give it a 6 out of 10.
6, wow.
Yeah, 6. I saw their review, and the guy made it seem, you know, it seemed like it was decent. It seemed like, I think they ended up giving it, like, a 7, or something like that.
Something crazy like that.
So, I'm glad he liked it, because I sure as heck didn't.
I saw some people on YouTube saying, like, oh, this is my favorite game ever.
I know.
Like,
how
I had to go right
how is that game. Possible? Have you even heard of Mass Effect? Yeah, so don't buy this game. Please don't buy this game.
Don't
rent it.
Don't even buy the 360 bundle that comes with it.
I mean, it's kind of like, I have it. Now what do you do with it? I could try and sell it at GameStop. I bet I'd only get, like, $5 at the most for it. It's, like, it's not even worth the $5 that you're going to get from it. It's,
you know what you could do? Sell it on
would
eBay.
You be happier if they decided to give you $1 instead of $5? Because then they don't like it?
Well, no. It's basically, in my opinion, it's worthless.
You could sell it on eBay as the limited multi-language edition. There are 3 languages on the cover.
You know, I wonder if that's how that would go, if it's only packaged with, you know, a 360 or something. I'll have to look that up. Maybe I can But I can get $7 instead of $5.
Cons the money out of people.
That's so not what I like to do. I'll probably just, you know, leave it here and collect dust.
And then one day blow on it and be like, oh yeah!
I could sell, I could... No, wait, if...
Throw the disc on the freeway.
I don't think that could destroy it enough. But plus I'd probably, you know, get fined like $1,000 for littering, so that's not a good way. If I ever have if I could ever have, you know, like a garage sale or something, I could sell it there, but I'd sell it for, you know, $5.
No, free with the purchase of anything. Seriously, take this away from me.
pretty much. Like, no more than $5, really. Hence why it came free with the 360. Although...
That's a bad game.
I know, though. It's not a great ambassador for the 360. I know, I'm surprised that they actually, like, welcome, you know, attached it.
Welcome to the 360. Here's what you get to play.
Yeah, at least, you know, with more, you know, current bundles, they have, you know, or it comes with, you know, the Lego games, which... You know, even though that, you know, they're basically a kid's game, you know, they're actually still fun to play.
Halo 3, I've seen them. Oh, by the way, did we ever give you Lego Batman? Do you want that?
I don't think so. I'm not sure if I want it.
The best bundle I saw was Halo 3, Fable 2. Yeah. Both those games are incredible.
Yeah.
Wait, did you play Fable
2? I haven't played Fable 2. I've looked at it, and I'm not sure if it's my type of game.
I wouldn't... Well, here's the thing. Kyle wanted both Fable 2 and Mass Effect, and I looked at the reviews for both of those before, you know, we had them, and I thought they looked like crap. I would never get either of them. And then when I watched him play it, in the beginning of both of them, I was still like, this is crap. These games suck. How could you want to play this? And the more he played them and I was watching it, they did grow on me. Even though I never played it, I never touched it, but they did grow on me. They get better.
Whew, okay, I'm done with my rage.
Sitting at you.
Calm down. Not even. No mercy for this game, really. whatever developer developed this, there's nowhere to go but up. Except they could just go out of business.
Hello?
Kevin has got a phone call. Okay, so... Dark Sector, don't buy it. Avoid it at all costs.
Okay, we'll be have you played the Dark Void demo?
Huh?
Have you played the Dark Void demo?
Dark Void? No, I haven't.
Okay, bye. His Dark Sector reminded me of Dark Void. Okay, is that okay if we finish up this podcast super quick?
Yeah. Okay, we're all done now. Okay, yeah, so...
Okay. Lane has been drained of energy.
Yes. All right, email us at podcast@thomasproductionsinc.com and call in at 208-474-2690. We'll be back... Probably in April, hopefully. So, we'll see you then. Bye!
Bye.
Don't buy Dark Sector.
Thanks for listening to The TPCast. If you liked the show, or hate it with your guts, please let us know by emailing us at podcast@thomasproductionsinc.com or leaving us a voicemail at 208-474-2690.
If you would like to find out more about this podcast or about Thomas Productions, please visit our website at thomasproductionsinc.com.
Please note that all non-original content featured in this podcast is the sole property of their respectful owners. On the other hand, all original content featured in this podcast is the property of Thomas Productions, Inc. It should also be noted that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast do not necessarily reflect those of Thomas Productions, Inc., although they usually do. Again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on
The TPCast.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye now. Bye-bye.
You suck.